Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Talkers Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 After. Thanks very much for staying with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you, as always. And we got a good friend with us, ladies and gentlemen, a long-time original member of our Brain Trust, Dr. Burton Folsom, who is the author of books that continue to be in demand, continue to be quoted, Empire Builders, The Myth of the Robber Barons. Those are classics that are still out there. His new book is called New Deal or Raw Deal, How FDR's Economic Legacy Has Damaged America, regardless of what my mother says. And he's a professor of history at Hillsdale College in Hillsdale, Michigan, and he's our good friend. Bert Folsom, welcome back to the show.
Jim, good to be with you again.
You know, my mother, it's great to have you back, Bert. You know, my mother wouldn't even pick up your book if she read it.
Well,
because there's right beside the great saints of the world on her wall, there's a picture of Roosevelt. I'm being a little bit facetious. She doesn't actually have a picture of Roosevelt, but in her mind, you know, on the wall of saints, Roosevelt is one of them.
Well, obviously, your mother didn't have a permanent influence on you, Jim.
No, and she still doesn't understand what happened.
When I read your column once a week, I don't see the influence of Franklin Roosevelt on what you say.
No, there's no FDR in my influence exactly. But you're right there on so many levels. She said every night when she goes to bed, she prays for me and wonders what happened.
Yeah, why you went astray or what happened to the economy. It finally recovered after he left the presidency.
Right. So FDR has the myth has been perpetuated for a long time that FDR was, you know, one of the great presidents, that he basically got us out of the recession. I mean, the Great Depression. He provided jobs for a lot of people. And, you know, country folk really did think he did some things that they felt put food on the table for them, and that was a pretty big deal to them.
Well, it was, and that's why a lot of people who were unemployed when he came in. After all, we did have 25% unemployment.
Yep.
When Roosevelt came into office. He starts federal programs, whether the WPA or the AAA or whatever.
Right.
And you end up with a job as a result of this program.
I mean, these were people who were starving.
Yes.
Who found work and got some money, and they could feed their families. Now, I'll tell you, Bert, if you and I were in those dire straits, we'd have to look favorably on whoever did that for us.
Well, my father-in-law was in the same boat. His first job was with the CCC, the Civilian Conservation Corps.
Right.
And there was
building roads and bridges and things like that.
That's correct. And there was nothing against Roosevelt you could say with him either. So I know how that is, and I think we both respect that to some extent, Jim. We can see that. But the bigger picture, you know, it's like a puzzle. You have pieces, and then you have the whole puzzle. And that is a piece of the puzzle, but it's not a piece that's a typical piece within the puzzle that describes very much. That's the problem.
Well, the thing that you point out in a recent article in the Wall Street Journal and that you talk about in your book is that there are two kinds of jobs that the government can influence. The kind that they create that we all know are unsustainable.
Right.
And they're basically what I consider to be artificial. And that's
right.
The ones that we've been talking about. And then there are the ones that are organic within the environment, in the economy, from the marketplace, that the government doesn't create but rather encourages, and those are sustainable for generations.
Exactly right, Jim. Well put and well summarized. And there's a difference between those two types of jobs. And in fact, when you create the jobs, the artificial jobs that Roosevelt did, you are chewing away at the sustainable jobs.
Yeah.
Because the tax dollars to support those artificial jobs come at the expense of the sustainable jobs.
But in Roosevelt's defense, Bert, and let me just play the other side of the table for a moment. In his defense, you and I both know that organic jobs from the marketplace lag behind. When you've got an emergency like he had with 25% unemployment, people starving, and the Dust Bowl in Oklahoma, et cetera, you know, the Jode family, Grapes of Wrath, all that. When you've got that kind of an emergency, you know, the quickest way to get somebody fed and working and fed is with a government job. The marketplace jobs take longer to come online, and so in his defense, I think that must have been what he was thinking. The problem, and I'll let you comment on this after this break. The problem is that he did one and not both. You don't have to do either or. You can do both and. We're going to take a quick break. Right back with Dr. Bert Folsom. His new book is called New Deal or Raw Deal. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for staying with me and for going to my website, smallbusinessadvocate.com. Hope you check it out when you get a chance. Lots of good stuff there that will help you. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. And by the way, the letter this week includes the one that we just sent, you still have time to get, includes my tour of my discussion about the VAT, the value-added tax that everybody's more and more people are talking about. And a warning about that. So if you subscribe this week, you'll still be getting that edition. Bert Folsom is our guest. Dr. Bert Folsom is the author of New Deal or Raw Deal, brand new book that's continuing to be quoted. Bert, congratulations on every time I turn around, some other learned person, influential person, including journalists, etc., are using your book. Including, weren't you on Stossel, or was it Glenn Beck you were on?
Glenn
Beck a couple of weeks ago,
right?
And so you know he didn't have a lot of visitors. So congratulations on that. When we went to the break, I was saying that in FDR's defense, the jobs that he created put food in people's mouths probably quicker than if he just said, okay, let's encourage entrepreneurs. Because that would have taken longer to get those jobs online. But, Bert, why can't we do both?
Well, I think we can, but I think I do think that the danger is that, one, the artificial jobs created by the government do come at the expense of the private jobs, and that's why it's when you're trying to do both at the same time, there can be a problem. One's got to be very temporary. Now, you look at the one example Roosevelt had right before him was the recession that happened right after World War One.
Right.
And there we had 12% unemployment, and when Harding and Coolidge came into the presidency, they immediately began cutting taxes. They did not try the stimulus approach. Now, you're right, it was not an overnight thing, but we went from 12% unemployment in 1921 to 2% unemployment in 1923.
Wow.
So that is a fairly quick recovery, and it was sustainable over the period of the rest of the decade.
The other thing that a lot of people don't realize is how heavily taxed Americans were during the Great Depression. There's no way that entrepreneurs had any kind of encouragement, did they, because of the tax base.
No, the taxes were higher than they are today, and that gives me some encouragement for today because we were able to get rid of that high tax structure. Roosevelt, actually Hoover, was part of the problem.
Right.
Hoover was the one creating these artificial jobs, and Roosevelt perpetuated that. Hoover.
Right. He also perpetuated the taxes and didn't try to cut them. But then, not long after his death and after World War II, the new regime, the new a group of politicians in Washington, you point out in your column recently, actually gave birth to what today we would consider to be supply side economics.
They sure did.
And dynamic scoring.
Exactly right. We had, for you know, it's hard to believe how high those taxes were in 1945. 94%. 94% was the marginal income tax rate on all income over $200,000.
Think about that.
And the corporate tax was at the top level was 90%.
Mm-hmm.
Now try expanding very much with a 90% income or corporate tax and a 94% income tax. Well, a lot of people, the Roosevelt types, the New Deal people, Truman, who wanted to perpetuate Roosevelt's New Deal, and others thought we needed to have those high taxes to continue more New Deal programs after the war because there was likely to be unemployment when the servicemen came home with the military.
Right.
And the Congress said, no, we're going to cut taxes. We had the tax cuts that came right after in 1945. And those tax cuts created jobs, and we did not have a depression after
right.
World War II.
But, you know, and so somebody might say, well, today we have 37% corporate rate, not 90%. So what are people complaining about? Well, it's all relative, isn't it, Bert? Because America is the second has the second highest corporate tax in the world.
It does.
After Japan. And so in a global economy, we have to compete against businesses in those other countries. And so it doesn't matter whether it's 37 or 97. If we're the second highest, then we're uncompetitive.
Ours is 35%. Ireland's is about 12%. So if you're thinking of establishing a business, you're an entrepreneur, are you going to go somewhere where the tax rate is 12%
right.
or where it's 35%?
That's right. Especially if you're thinking about, and especially when you can live in America and have your business anywhere in the world.
Yes, that's where the instant communications and all of that begins to work against the United States, because the capital flow is going to be where there is the most profitability, and when we have those high tax rates, we just chase businesses and jobs right out of the country.
Can you compare what you're seeing today in the attempts of by the government to get the economy going and to avoid further downturn in this the recession we've recently come out of? Can you compare that to the FDR days?
Well, we can, only the crisis with FDR was much greater, so really you have more forgiveness because we knew less back then,
right.
And the crisis was greater. Here we know a lot more, and the crisis was not as severe. So it's much more tragic that we made that mistake in the last year or two.
And when you say that mistake, what are you pointing to?
Well, I would point to either put the bailouts aside for a minute. Let's talk about the stimulus package.
Yeah.
The stimulus package is where the starting point is. There was an allegation by President Obama and others that we would simply create jobs through that stimulus package, and we have lost jobs.
That hasn't happened. No, that's exactly right. And so your point is that artificial stimulation of the economy is not the best way to create jobs, folks. The best way is to encourage small business owners to create jobs, and that hasn't been happening. Tintail, right back after these messages. We're going to get Bert to compare this more after we come back. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Bert Folsom is our guest. Dr. Bert Folsom, the author of New Deal or Raw Deal. Folks, I encourage you to get this. It's in plain English. Bert Folsom Jr. Burton Folsom Jr. is the name on the book. Bert, tell us how we can find your book and a little bit about Hillsdale College.
Well, you can get the book. Of course, Amazon.com is a great place, but also Barnes & Nobles and Borders has the book. Please get it. It'll help. If it doesn't help you, I guarantee you it'll help me if you get it. So thank you.
Seriously, folks, if you want to understand the myths and be able to see some of the comparisons to what's going on right now, the book will help you do that. And Hillsdale College is hillsdale.edu, right?
That's right. And I've got a blog going, Jim, at www.bertfolsom.com. And then you're right with Hillsdale College, www.hillsdale.edu. It's a great college, takes no federal aid, fine students to teach.
Unique in the world, isn't it? In that way. So check it out, folks, hillsdale.edu. Bert, back to our comparison. Do you think the Obama administration has any kind of an understanding of how the economy, the our free market entrepreneurial economy works? Do you think they have a they value that very much? I mean, they say they do, but do their actions indicate that?
No, not at all. And I see that as a defect in the education system as well, because a person should not be able to go through high school, college, without getting a comprehension somewhere along the line of how a market economy works. But we simply do not seem to have that understanding among the members of the Obama administration. We've abdicated that responsibility at the college level in many colleges.
Well, we still have a lot of politicians in Washington on both sides of the aisle for some reason, even though the Republicans may be less than the Democrats, but we still have a lot of politicians who believe that the government is better served, is better able to make decisions for Americans than individuals in the marketplace is.
Well, if you could only find some evidence to support that. This is where, you know, the founders of our country relied on experience. They wanted evidence. They wanted experience. Where is the evidence and the experience of successful government interventions?
There isn't any. There isn't any. There's zero. And all you got to do is, and if you want to look at where some people are trying to take us today, you can look at Europe right now and see.
Exactly. That is the course that we're headed toward, and we've got to stop it. And I'm the good news with that article that I wrote is that we did stop it at one time in our history. In 1945, we were headed down that road. We stopped it. We cut taxes. We went back to a more market economy. We made a recovery, and we had a good period after the war.
But you know, Bert, when things happen like happened on Wall Street in the last decade, and the excesses that were there, the runaway greed that we saw there, and the some of the issues that are coming home to roost in the last couple of years, that it makes people turn away from the marketplace sometimes, doesn't it?
Well, it does, but there are two things happening. There's the greed, the Bernie Madoff sort of situation,
yeah.
And we have ways of dealing with that. He's in
that
jail.
Was beyond greed. That was just theft. That was just theft.
But we have rules in place, and in any system, you're going to have people who violate, and you put the rules in and put them in jail. Then you have the problems in Wall Street created by the government, like the Community
right.
Reinvestment Act, which
right.
forced banks to make investments to low interest, make low interest,
and then politicizing, the behavior of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac along those as a co-conspirator in the CRA thing.
Yes, and so then you have Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, both government-created organizations, loaded with bad mortgages created mm-hmm. by the government, and then they're making campaign contributions, they go broke, and all of this, and then it falls on Wall Street's face, and that's
yeah.
the fault of the government, not Wall Street.
Also, I want to point out that they're in the process of trying to regulate the financial industry, but not one time have I heard them bring up the fact that there was accounting fraud at Fannie Mae in the last decade, and nobody pursued that.
Well, you don't hear much about it in the news.
No.
Senator Dodd, Barney Frank, ought to be held more accountable for
yeah.
the goings-on.
But yet we've got Senator Dodd handling the financial reform. What's wrong with that picture, Bert?
I know. Well, we wouldn't want Bernie Madoff to handle the Wall Street financial
reform. Folks, think
reform.
About these things. When you go to the polls this fall, think about these things. You know, who do you think should be better able to manage our future, individuals like you and me, or people in Washington? Bert Folsom, thank you for being here. Good job today.
Thank you, Jim.
It's
good
always a pleasure. Thanks for being here. Bert Folsom, ladies and gentlemen, an original member of our Brain Trust all the way back to 98. The book is called New Deal or Raw Deal. It's a very important book. It will continue to be so. You're going to want your own copy. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll be back after the news.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.